Like,
I don't understand why you have to dig so deep into it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Mod State Podcast and YouTube video now. It's good to see you there, my friend. I feel like as we have done podcasts, it becomes you pick up these habits and you kind of talk to an audience that's not there, or you're not seeing your face, you're not seeing the other person. So we've done a really good job of not, so all of our Skype conversations aren't video. We do everything audio. I don't see your face. And so the first time that Sarah and I did the audio for the last podcast on Cambridge Analytica on the 114th, it was sort of weird, like trying to look at the video camera at the same time you're sort of looking at the audio waveforms and stuff like that. So it's going to be a little bit of growing pains. I think that's the long-winded way to say that. But either way, we're back. Our first inaugural Genesis, whatever you want to say, for the video. So you're looking dapper, my friend. Nice tie.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
You look wonderful and plaid. Did I ever tell you that?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, this is, it's springtimey. It's nice outside, so I wanted to wear something, you know, blue and white and light and for everyone out there. I need to shave.
You are the white
knight. I need to get rid of the scruff, but, it's all good, so.
No. No.
Anyway.
I think your tractor's sexy.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, anyway, it's been a minute since we've been together. And
probably 2 weeks, hasn't it? Something like that?
It has. And we've had some material to push out, and we've done well, but we are finally back. So there's
just a little
hiatus, if you will, but it's good. We're back. So there's a couple things, obviously, that have happened in our hiatus, if you will. And we did touch on it on the last episode Sarah and I did for the Facebook and the Cambridge Analytica. But as of yesterday, there was the no-knock warrant on the President of the United States lawyer in New York City. I think it was New York City. And they confiscated, or according to the president, stole lots of information. A lot of what we don't know yet, however, it probably is going to be a lot of lawyer, what do they call them? It's the confidential information, essentially. What's that?
Newspeak,
yeah. But there is a confidentiality agreement.
Attorney-client privilege.
Exactly, attorney-client privilege. That's exactly what it is. I don't know why that was eluding me. And that's what becomes so problematic with a warrant, essentially, on a law office, because there is a lot of information that is privileged, and that doesn't remain privileged when there is a raid. And from what I understand now, and from what I've read, so I think that's why a lot of people are crossing their fingers. We'll just get into it here. There's kind of a duality here, and the one is that I believe, and I think most law professors will say that the way that they did this raid, it's a warrant, the way that they conducted this was in accordance with the law. And there wasn't any, there was a warrant when they entered. It went through the proper channels. A judge signed off on the warrant, and then
Do we know that yet, or was it FISA? Because that's what I'm wondering. It's got to be pretty severe, man, to try and violate attorney-client, or not to try and violate, to violate that privilege.
Yeah.
So it come from, I mean,
it's,
you know,
I mean, but at the end of the day, the FISA court still has judges. So whether or not it was classified or not classified, it still is the proper channel. The one thing that people have a problem with the FISA court is its lack of transparency. But you would have to have something like a FISA court in order to sign off on classified operations, specifically the military, the FBI, because if you had to go to a public court in order to get that warrant, well, then all your evidence is gone. I mean, I could imagine that Cohen's office would know if they were taking that warrant to the judge down the road, like, hey, by the way, there's a lag time here between the warrant getting signed and the FBI showing up at your front door, and he eats all the paperwork or he burns it. And I mean, at the end of the day, if the FBI walks into an office with trash computers and upturned file cabinets, all he's got to say is, yeah, this is just the way we operate.
So you just recounted pretty much what happened when they asked Hillary Clinton to turn over documents. I mean, they had people taking hammers to hard drives.
Yeah. Yes. And I am not for one second saying that there is not nefarious activity going on both sides. I mean, there very much is.
Innocent people might want to sit down with the special prosecutor, but innocent people don't take hammers to hard drives.
Yeah, I know. It's an interesting look.
The truth is, though, as I've said before in here, I think not just her, but the people working for her told so many different variations of the same story that I don't think she truly knows the truth anymore.
Well, and that kind of gets to the – so I'm going to actually get you to tilt your computer just that way a little bit.
To my left?
To your right. There you go. A little bit back. There you go. I just lose half your face. We need your whole face. There we go. So that's another part of this story that's interesting. So as you brought up as well, in precast, what is it, or how do you, when the president of the United States says, well, he's under investigation, or there's plenty of people around him that are, have this investigation going on, the president says, I'll sit down with Robert Mueller. No problem. I'll sit down. So my visceral reaction to that is he's either crazy or he really doesn't know what's going on at all. And this, that the people around him have insulated him so much and have isolated him so much, which I think is a world that he's lived in his entire life. I mean, if you're a billionaire and you come from a billionaire family or a millionaire family, you just live in a different world. I mean, that's just the bottom line. And you're sort of insulated from the working man. You're insulated from, I mean, even down to like going grocery shopping and knowing the price of food. And maybe that has translated into the presidency where he's got people around him that have isolated him for, not because of nefarious activity, but just because that's the way he operates. So,
you know, one thing real quick, though, that I think has fed into, and this is something you mentioned precast, was, you know, him saying they stole it.
Yeah.
You know, the information. I think a part of it has to be, there's got to be a certain element of frustration in that the scope of the special prosecutor has changed. This is not what the investigation, what he was created for. I mean, not Robert Mueller, but the role.
Yes.
The role was created. Yeah, I'm not going to talk about why Robert Mueller came into existence, okay? But the role was created to investigate the issue of Russia tampering with the election.
Yes.
Not potential high crimes and misdemeanors by the executive branch in regards to, you know, obstruction of justice and all that.
So which could play into why, you know, Robert Mueller said, hey, we found some evidence of criminal activity and we're going to pass this on because this is not. And that's what, you know, the good old folks of Reddit were making points that this was a referral where they did find evidence of a crime or criminal activity, but it's not within his scope of prosecutorial.
Prosecutorial. Well, that's power. The whole problem, though. Fundamentally, with the special prosecutor's position, as we saw with Kenneth Starr, you know, there were things like Whitewater getting brought up and things that had happened when President Clinton was a governor of Arkansas. And as much as one might like or dislike him, at the end of the day, when Kenneth Starr is talking about perjury and Monica Lewinsky, everybody's going, what the hell does that have to do with anything?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of what's going on here. This no longer has to do with the original intention.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that's what they're finding with people like, well, Manafort may be closer to the narrative than Cohen. I think what they're allegedly finding here with Cohen.
He's closer to Roger Stone than Cohen.
Yeah. with Cohen, they're alleging campaign finance violations. So this is just one of the things. Again, this is why I like to keep these a little briefer, because you know, we don't know what is actually happening. And so what we wind up doing is just sitting here and speculate.
Yeah. So cut into shift gears, sir, into what you really called us here today for.
What did I really call us here for today? I don't know. We're just here doing whatever, right? So there's on the vein of this in kind of investigation and what's happening with the Cohen raid or the warrant, I pose a question here. And there obviously we're fairly tribal in this country. We figured this out. And the president yesterday was asked in a press conference basically about how he felt about the raid. Well, if my lawyer's office was busted down, and who knows what I said, you can say whatever you want in front of your lawyer. You have this confidentiality.
It's kind of like having your priest raided.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, yeah, that's probably exactly what it's like.
Or the, what should I say, the confession booth bugged. That's probably not a place that you want bugged.
No.
So I would be pissed. I absolutely would. And the issue that he has, or President Trump has with this, is that, you know, his confidential information, the things he's talked about with his lawyer, are sort of on blast now for the FBI to see. But it was what he said about the raid itself that I think is problematic, because this happens with every president. Every president is going to have a loyal base that is basically going to worship anything that he says. But when you say things like this is an attack on who we are as Americans, that they stole information, that they that this was not inappropriate, but he literally said was an unwarranted act, essentially. But the real words that he used, stealing and wrong, essentially.
Yeah, thing unwarranted would be
so
a pretty good pun.
Yeah, and you know, what he's essentially saying is that this was illegal, and that the actual democratic process, the things that we put into place with our judicial system, with our law enforcement agencies, is essentially wrong, and that this is not American. Which, if it did go through the correct channels, whether it was a FISA court or not, is absolutely the foundation of the way search and seizure is supposed to happen. And what I'm afraid of is that this continues to compound the narrative of the deep state conspiracy. And of course, I believe that if nothing comes of this at all, if there's no criminal charges put on Cohen, that the administration absolutely will push the deep state narrative even further. And especially because he's already said they stole documentation, which they didn't, in a raid, in a seizure, in a warrant, in a search. You're not stealing anything. You have legal authorization to take that as evidence.
Do you think that perhaps something that's feeding into that is the fact, and we discussed this precast, but that he has volunteered, whether he should or not, the president has volunteered to sitting down with a special prosecutor, which Nixon, Reagan, and Clinton did not do.
Yes.
And that's probably akin to volunteering to sit appearing before a grand jury. You just don't do it.
Well, okay.
But do you think maybe that's feeding into his frustration? And I use this word classically. I don't want to offend him, his staff, or his fans, okay? But in the classical sense of the term, do you think his ignorance about the system is making him feel mistreated here? Because, hey, I'm trying to disclose what's going on. I'm volunteering to do this.
I mean, you
see what I'm getting at?
It's a good point. I really do think it's a good point. What you bring up is very important, and that is a potential ignorance to this and how the entire system works.
Right. I'm not calling it stupid.
Yeah. I don't think that Trump is that ignorant to the judicial system and the law because the guy's filed for bankruptcy and therefore has been to bankruptcy court over and over. Bankruptcy court obviously is far different from this judicial branch.
He's having a problem meshing the two things. He's got an instinctual knowledge of the media as far as the New York tabloid culture goes, of being in negative press is better than none. But then he's also, it's almost a, and again, this is unfortunate, but I mean this in the classical sense as well. It's almost like a childlike faith that he has in the system that, I don't know, the way it came off to me was almost that the guy's brokenhearted about it.
Hmm.
Now, maybe that's...
Okay, so I think that someone would need to explain this to the president then. It's like, I know that you want to sit down with Mueller. Now, maybe he does, but there's enough people around him. Like, obviously, the president has to deal with briefings, classified briefings, national security, economic. And so to manage this on, I mean, this is something that one person could spend an entire day doing themselves. So he's got enough people around him, enough counsel, enough of his aides that are sort of handling this. So as much as the president could probably say, I'll sit down with him. But it is just a very topical, superficial statement. And whether...
Well, remember, he had a lawyer that basically threatened to leave the administration over this. So there's got to be some teeth to it.
But I get your point by him being frustrated that he is willing to sit down with the prosecutor, special prosecutor.
I'm not saying I agree with it.
No, I know. And I completely get that. I think there could be that frustration. However, I think if you're...
Doesn't make what he said right. This is an attack on the country. This actually, in a way, not two things here, but there's a caveat to this. In one way, yes, it is the truest expression of our democratic republic.
Yes.
Going on. The other side of the coin, though, and this has more to do with the Congress, and that is impeachment is not a tool for people that you don't like.
Yes, very true.
Impeachment is for high crimes and misdemeanors, okay? So by pursuing this simply because we don't like the guy, first and foremost, I would speculate because he beat Hillary Clinton and he's very brash.
Yes.
Okay. So you put those two things together. He's arrogant and he defeated the anointed one.
Yes.
He was supposed to break that ceiling. Well, she didn't. So that's not a reason, though, to invoke the powers, the prosecutorial powers that come with impeachment and removal from office. Because wouldn't that cheapen the whole process?
It would. And now here's another thing. I think this is a cultural situation that we have here. That we sort of project what we want on the situation. And I really truly believe that we look at the special prosecutor. It doesn't matter if let's say it's a Republican special prosecutor and a Democratic president. People are always going to come to the defense of the person that they align with. And they're going to say that this is obviously a political move. And I mean, that's what you're going to
say. I didn't say that.
No, I know you didn't say that. I'm just saying this is a cultural, enigma, if what it is in the United States today, where
it kind of alludes to that letter we got that we're going to address next time of why is America so polarized that?
We do. We have a listener Q&A for our next podcast, and I'm really looking forward to it. But
she addresses that point, and it was a very good point. Why is America so damn polarized?
And why is it that you can, if someone says I'm conservative, or rather, let's just say I don't believe in...
They say if they're a Republican, then they've got to be for the tax cuts. If they're a Democrat, they've got to be against them.
Yeah. So what I look at here with this investigation with Rosenstein and the Attorney General, or excuse me, the U.S. Attorney in Southern District of New York, is whether they vote Democratic or Republican, when you're entrenched in the judicial system, there is the blind lady of justice, right? You have to, I think you're in that world so much that you become impartial. You're unbiased. You have to be. If there's evidence, you follow that road. Now, I'm not saying there's not bad players. There's certainly bad players.
And President Trump has had no problem on his own of poisoning the well.
Yes.
And part of that is by design. And I would say this if he was sitting in the room, sir. With all due respect, you can't look me in the face and say that you haven't tried to offend X, Y, and Z. You wanted to get a rise out of them. You were deliberately being a troll. So 4% of the D.C. metro area voted for President Trump. So do you think he's going to get a fair grand jury trial? No, but no. Whose fault is that?
Yeah, it's certainly not it's not the population's fault. I mean, when you troll somebody, believe it or not, most people aren't going to like you.
I mean, yeah, a certain amount of the population disliked George W. Bush because he was president and a Republican. But my God, now he's, you know, he's friends with Michelle Obama. I mean, he's kind of like an elder statesman of sorts. It's,
yeah.
You know, they didn't hate Bush like they do this guy. This is different. This redefines the word hate. He is less popular in polls in places like the Ivy League and UC Berkeley, California, and the Northeast than Richard Nixon today.
Yeah. It's like an adjustment for inflation kind of thing. Again,
negative interest rates.
Yeah. So let's just transition away briefly, because again, I don't want to, I think the further we go with this, the more we start speculating as to what it is. I guess in conclusion, I sort of believe,
you know what it is.
When I said on Reddit, I said that I think this is a nothing burger. Quoting Van Jones, who did not come up with nothing burger, but I'll say it anyway. I don't know. I have to look up Urban Dictionary, but I was.
That's was trademark it and.
So I believe, and I'm making a prediction, and this is on no evidence at all, that if there are criminal charges brought down on Cohen, that I believe it will be Cohen himself, that it is something that he did to cover the tracks of, well, in this case, the $130K. If that was really brought from campaign funds and he did it alone, I think he burns, or maybe someone else burns. But I think they've insulated the president enough.
You don't think that he's going to refer charges to the House? Well, he can't. He's not going to refer charges to the Justice Department to refer to the House.
Yes. Who knows? Unless there's something in there that is just damning. But my guess is that this will just be another individual who will burn. And, do you think Donald Trump cares if the world knows about the Stormy Daniels affair or if she speaks? I don't think so. The dude's been married, what, like 10 times, has had multiple affairs. You know, the story of getting peed on in Russia. I don't think this guy, he knows.
He cares, yes.
Yes.
He doesn't care for the reasons that you and I would like him to care for.
Maybe you're right, but again, I think he looks at the numbers. I think that he goes, look, if I roll back climate change, if I drop out of the Paris Accord, if I get tough on immigration, if I'm pro religious liberty, they don't care what I do. They really don't. And you know what? Surprise, they don't. Go on and look at any interview on CNN's done a bunch of them questioning evangelicals. What's going on here? I don't understand why you're aligning with this guy. And you know what? They'll go full circle on why they agree with him. And that it doesn't matter that he had an affair with Stormy Daniel. That's why I say
that's because
that's why I believe that someone like Cohen knew about this, or Donald Trump mentioned it to him and said this happened, and he took it upon himself to silence it so it didn't come out. I think it's like, let's throw 130K at this and shut her up, and so we just don't have this issue. I don't know if that happened, but it sounds right. More plausible. Now, the way that he got the 130K allegedly is a little strange. He took out a loan.
Like a second mortgage or something?
Yeah, he took out like a home buyer's loan or something along those lines. And
like, who does that to pay a porn star?
Yeah. And then used the money, transferred it to this account in California. And actually the original loan institution flagged it as suspicious. And that's why it went to the U.S. Treasury and why we know about this in the first place. Because he took a loan out in like a friggin' house. And they're like,
you can't make this up.
You can't. You really cannot. It's going to be an amazing. It's going to be an unbelievable movie.
I thought that my father was just saying this when it was like a month or so, summer of 2016, when my father was like, you know, you couldn't have picked a better time to jump into political journalism.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know. It's a little crazy. And I think this happens or this did happen, and we will essentially be waiting a bit to find out what happens. And I mean, the guy's a lawyer. This is not Paul Manafort. This is not Papadopoulos. Have I said it right? This is a lawyer. I mean, he knows how this works. And I think if the U.S. attorney were to come to him, I mean, he's a lawyer. Like, he knows what to do. He knows what to say. He knows how to say it. He knows what not to say.
Yes, but the issue that's looming over this whole thing is the president himself saying he's going to go sit down with the special prosecutor.
I mean, I'm not a Trump fan, and even me, even myself, don't do it.
I don't care if it was Joseph Stalin's grandson who was an American citizen that's president, the Communist Party, and he asked me, "What do you think?" I would tell him, "Don't do that."
I mean, just before we wrap it up,
it's not a good idea. It's like volunteering to sit down with a grand jury. It's there to get something. They're not there to sit down with you and say, "You know what? You're an okay guy." This guy right here, he is okay. That's not what they're wanting to do. Robert Mueller is wanting to come away with something to go, "You see?"
I know. I mean, there's a, I don't want to say there's a vested interest in finding something, but that's their job.
There's quite a few American taxpayer dollars finding something.
Literally, yeah. Well,
he doesn't have that job to say that. Let's be real here. Okay, technically, he has the job to say whether he's guilty or innocent. In reality, he has that job to say Trump is guilty because.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see as well. Like I said before, these things are so linked that right now Zuckerberg is testifying in D.C. And
he's, couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
You know, he said something, and we won't touch on it too much because I think I'd rather it play out and then we can talk about it later. He said in the testimony, he said, when you create, and I'm paraphrasing here, but when you create something like this in your dorm room and then grow it to the size it is today, you are going to make mistakes. I agree.
I could create anything no matter what size it is. I mean, I feel compelled to say I've made some mistakes in the nearly 2 years that Mondstate's been in existence. Yeah.
You just do, and you learn, and it's tough because it's a corporate, publicly traded company, and there's a lot. I mean, I'll say a lot of eyes on, but I mean, it's such a huge kind of new model for corporate structure. And
quarter of the globe's on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, have you looked to see if your data was mined by Cambridge Analytica? I have not. I have not logged on. Although it'll be interesting because there are several class action lawsuits out right now, and I'm certainly not suggesting that the 87 million people whose data was mined are going to walk away with millions of dollars, because that's not the case. However, hey, if it was, you might make.
You volunteered your own data.
You might make a buck. I don't know.
People putting on their what variant of Parmesan cheese went into their pasta every day, and they're mad because their data got mined?
Well,
you did this to yourself.
You know what? You did it to yourself if you really didn't read the privacy, or
how many people do?
Well, it is the responsibility of the user to know what they're doing when they're downloading apps and using apps through Facebook. I mean, Sarah brought up the point where a culture of convenience, and if you're not, no one should expect that your data is taken without your consent. That is wrong. However, I think what
we consent when we get on there and volunteer. I mean, how many parties, you know, with chicks thinking it's still sexy to make a duck face for pictures.
But even if you make a sexy picture with a duck face, that your profile.
That's an example of how much we put out there, though.
Well, no, we put
going to jail for things they put on Facebook.
We put a fair deal out there. How you should, though, have a level of security that your data is not going to be used without your consent. I mean, marketing companies do use your data all the time, but they still do it ethically, and a lot of them don't do it ethically. And in this case, this was not ethical. The 270,000 people that said, absolutely, use my data, go ahead, pay me $2. You can do that. You can make passive income using
apps. $2. Who does anything for $2?
I don't know. It's a really good question. However, from that 270,000 people, 87 million profiles were then procured from that. And that is inherently unethical and wrong. So yes, it has made me rethink what I'm putting on social media, or not so much what I'm putting on social media, but my privacy settings that I have, because everything's public. And again, what we're talking about, the mining of data, is very different from hacking. So Equifax and stealing social security numbers and birth dates and credit card, that is different from unethically obtaining profiles to use for marketing. They're two different things. They seem similar, but I think a lot of people get them confused, but they are different. And so hacking, in a sense, is just something that is going to happen and is illegal. But essentially it's like you have LifeLock, and if it happens and your identity gets stolen, then you recoup. That's insurance. But there's a reasonable...
Sorry, I was just thinking about Life Alert, and I'm falling and I can't get up. No,
LifeLock is different from Life Alert.
Yes, it is different.
Yes, but LifeLock will help you get back up, allegedly. So LifeLock, if you're listening.
Cialis?
Yeah, and not Cialis, LifeLock. Anyway, so...
I mean,
I got it.
I see what I did.
I see what you did. Man, we went from LifeLock to Life Alert to Cialis.
Cialis.
Goodness gracious.
You're welcome.
All right, my friend. Well,
you're fresh out of time.
Yep. And we'll be back hopefully this week. And I hopefully the next thing that we talk about, barring any apocalyptic event, will be our Q&A from one of our listeners in New Zealand that's posed some very interesting questions and also would like to let the world know what's going on in New Zealand as well. So,
and what she thinks of America.
And
it was actually there were some, I don't want to say damning, but in a way, some damning things that were expressed. But it's as I was conveying to my parents, I said it was interesting because I look at it truly as constructive criticism, what got said. Because she made it clear, hey, I still love America. I love visiting. Yeah. I like the people. However, capital comma.
Yeah. Well, but it's I think it's refreshing to have a perspective where, you know, New Zealand, Australia, the Commonwealth has its list of issues. And she laid those out. But what is... I think one thing she was trying to say is we don't differ that much, and we still want the same social justices. We still want everyone to have the same shot. But look, we do this, and we have, you know, for one, we'll get into it, but socialized medicine, essentially. What she's saying is like, this is not like New Zealand didn't burn down. We have the lowest unemployment rate over the, you know, the westernized civilization over the last 10 years. We have, you know, granted they have some other issues, but they're saying nothing crumbled. Like we didn't fall apart. But again, where we'll get into in the podcast is the difference between Americans and maybe other westernized societies is that we...
Australia and New Zealand are pro-American places. It's just she is baffled by things that people like me who are from here, and I'm from the world. It's a pretty strange place, but I'm baffled by the essential weirdness that is America.
Yeah. Okay. And one thing I think we'll find out, and as a teaser in this next podcast, is the one thing that Americans hang on to that I think other, and I don't want to generalize here, but a lot of other societies don't hold on to as strictly is the idea of rights and losing rights. And what is my fundamental right to the Second Amendment, my guns. And it isn't that you just want to stockpile weapons. It's that it's a right. And that's different from some other countries. It's the idea that I don't want an intrusion of government. It isn't that screw the poor person. I don't want them to have benefits. It's
glad John Locke's not here to talk about this.
Exactly. So anyway, I won't go any further because otherwise we'll wind up doing this entire
podcast. No, yeah, and You got to go to your 10th work meeting in 11 days.
Man, we once a quarter, and we sort of lump them up. So yeah, got to go do this.
Seriously, like, hey, y'all are overtime.
Hey, I'm not complaining. So no, it's good for me. So anyway, my friend, until next time, we'll see you. This is a game, but for me, this is work. I punch in.